Thank you for hosting me today. But Summerlee, I have to tell you something. Something that is sometimes a source of shame in the world right now, and something you might already know about me. I am American. I come from the United States, and in October I went to the United States on a much overdue trip to see my friends and family. I grew up, and most of my family still lives, in a place called Connecticut. It's a northern state between, so Boston is here and New York is like here. So it's right between Boston and New York. And it's a very liberal place. We have not voted statewide for any Republican in 15 years. We last came out on the side of a Republican president in 1987. So as you might imagine, if you have been following American politics, Connecticut at large is not generally happy with the state of America and the presidency of Trump. People are very angry and very scared. And although I may not yet have preached here enough for you to have noticed, but I try to not get into politics too much in my sermons. I tend to fear that I don't know the issues well enough to speak competently about them. But mostly I'm afraid. I don't want to be a target. I have to cross the border fairly regularly, and I'm really terrified of being detained. I've had nightmares about immigration and customs enforcement agents. And I regularly have conversations with friends, especially some of my friends who are not white, who will no longer visit me in Canada because they fear being arrested by ICE on their way back into the country. And right before the trip in October, it got worse. My husband, who reads the news much more regularly than me, told me that people who were filming ICE agents were now being arrested. When I read what we have in Hosea this morning, I could replace ancient Israel with present-day America. For what shall I do with you, O America? What shall I do with you, O states? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. We know that the Lord desires steadfast love and not sacrifice, and especially not the sacrifice of the lives and dignity of human beings in detention centers. We know that we're supposed to behave better than them. And that's not a uniquely American issue, this misappropriation of justice. Wherever we live, we see that justice is not always served rightly and ethically and with people's best interests at heart. We look at the housing crisis in Montreal, where companies are buying up apartment buildings and then renting them out at absurd prices. We look at the itinerant population in this city that we could house if we could agree on a fair distribution of resources. We tend to watch the rich get richer and the poor get poorer and wonder about where God is in any of this. We also wonder about the justice of death. Why are people taken from us so soon? How is that fair? In our prophet Hosea today, we have these words. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. We also have this. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Again and again, we have the promise and the prophetic and biblical literature that God, our God through Jesus Christ, will heal us. We have a reminder again and again that we will be raised from the dead. We are always reminded that we can leave this misuse of justice behind and return to the Lord. Another ancient Israelite prophet, Habakkuk, writes that the Lord says, "There is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come." Summer Lee, there is still a vision for the appointed time. When things seem dark and there is despair, we are reminded that God still has a plan. We have not reached the end of the story yet. We may not know when, and we may not know how, but we can stand firm in the confidence that Jesus is coming back. God has not forgotten us. God desires us to live in his kingdom in a way that is life-giving and sustainable, and in a way that is going to come. God has better eyes, and he can see farther than us. He sees the vision. And he's not asking you to see the vision as well as he can. And he's not asking you to forget that there's injustice in the world. But he's asking you to remember that there is a vision. There is a kingdom. And it is not the kingdom or vision that any president or prime minister can ever promise us. There is still a vision, Summer Lee. A vision in which people are healed and brought back from the dead. So you might say today, okay, Sarah, there's still a vision. That's great. But what do we do here and now and today? What do we do while we wait? And that is where we can turn to our gospel text today. In the story that Matthew presents us with, Jesus calls the tax collector, also named Matthew, to follow him. He not only calls Matthew to follow him, but he then goes to Matthew's house, where he has a meal with some of Matthew's friends, who seem to be involved in less than reputable professions. This apparently causes quite a stir. This causes quite a stir, partly because Matthew is a tax collector. For one good reason, it's hard to like the person who takes your money. More properly, it was normal for tax collectors at that time to take taxes over and above what the state required them to collect for the empire. Obviously, our politicians would never take more of our money than promised. I have a hard time liking my landlord, a corporation whose profits are the excess rent I pay that they don't need to run the building. And I have a hard time even liking the functionaries that work for them, even though I know that they're working for them because they need the money that comes with the hourly pay. And for another reason, Matthew is the symbol of occupation and domination. He is the symbol of Rome. Matthew is a constant reminder that the Jewish people here do not have the right to self-determination. He is a constant reminder that they have to live with and under the Romans. He is a constant reminder that they cannot be their own people or have the lives that they want to have. And so the Pharisees are confused. Like, why should this guy take their money and then eat with the Lord God Almighty? When the Pharisees ask Jesus' disciples this question, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus responds that those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. It is not because Matthew is perfect that Jesus is having dinner with him. It's not because Matthew's friends are perfect that Jesus is having dinner with them. Jesus is having dinner with them because Jesus knows that they need him. And they don't need Jesus to judge them or to scold them, but to be present with them. As Jesus himself says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The prophet Hosea said something very similar this morning as well. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice. Jesus calls Matthew to follow him this morning, and Matthew does. And following Jesus requires this. It requires showing mercy to those people that we are supposed to hate. So even though Matthew is hated, even though he's despised, even though he's a potentially horrible person, I don't know, the Lord still says that he belongs. There is still a vision for people that we hate. Maybe I shouldn't admit this, but when I read passages like this in the Bible, I try to figure out who the tax collector in my life is. Who do I hate so much that if Scott invited them to dinner, I would lose it? And presumably, like most of you, I like to think of myself as a kind person. There are people that I don't really like, that I don't really want to have dinner with, but I'm polite, and I can be nice to a lot of people through a dinner. It's really hard for me to think of someone that I would viscerally throw out of my house. And it's hard for me to think of someone that if we had them over, our friends would no longer want to associate with us. And then I think suddenly of an ICE agent. Who do I hate so much? Who is actively destroying the lives of people I care about? Who do I not want to give a cup of water, let alone Scott's delicious cooking? And that is the Lord's reminder for me today. The reminder is not just that tax collectors still exist today, though in different forms, because we all knew that. The reminder is that the Lord still has a vision for the future, and his vision for the future includes people that I despise. And it includes people that you despise. For the Lord still looks at these people and sees them as beloved children of God, whom he intends to do great things with. And so my question for all of us today is this. What do we need to do to align God's vision with our own? Who do you need to have dinner with? And how can we, like Jesus, Give mercy and steadfast love